come across an opportunity, the details of which are largely unimportant. However, it led me to discover a rather interesting quest chain that coincidentally led to this area. You can imagine my joy when I realized it was the same place I had sent Isaac to.
Of course, I replied, feeling somewhat uneasy. I'm sure the game did that on purpose.
So, a long story short, without delving into needless minutiae, this quest affords me an opportunity to found my own kingdom, completely separate from Iberia and under my own personal rule.
Graves paused to indicate the guards.
And, of course, the ability to reward those who choose to follow me.
A kingdom, huh? I repeated slowly. That is quite a lot of responsibility to take on to oneself.
I assure you, I am more than capable of such a burden,
Graves declared confidently.
The only question is whether or not you are all willing to surrender peacefully, join my ranks, and enjoy the spoils. Or if my coronation is going to be one marred by bloodshed.
Graves held up a finger in warning.
I assure you, we've become quite adept at bloodshed on our journey here.
No doubt, I replied, my eyes narrowing. I'm sure it takes quite a bit of cajoling to keep so many prisoners in line. Graves's eyebrows rose at that statement.
Ah, you've been watching us. I am impressed. I have had yet to see such initiative in this game thus far.
Graves glanced back at his guards once again.
Nor did my scouts notice we were being watched. As distasteful as it may be, the quest I spoke of requires a certain amount of followers, shall we say, to successfully found my kingdom.
Graves's voice took a regretful tone.
Specifically, those followers must also be broken and completely obedient to my rule. You mean broken as slaves?
Alduin stated, biting the word as it came out of his mouth. And you thought that that was a good idea? Just because you had a quest? I couldn't help but keep the venom out of my voice. Just a handful of days into Ascend Online, and just because he has a quest, he considers enslaving dozens of people not only acceptable, but actually follows through with it?
It is quite a temporary measure.
Graves shrugged as if the matter was unimportant.
Once the kingdom is founded successfully, I plan to free them to whatever ends they wish. Until then, however, they will have to remain with me. I can't have them getting away and spreading word of my kingdom until it's truly ready to defend itself. I'm not so sure I believe you will free them at all, I hissed at Graves. Whether you believe me or not is irrelevant.
Graves smiled as he spread his arms out wide.
What I am more interested in at this moment is your answer to my offer. The scouts have moved against the den.
Amaranth's voice floated through my mind.
One has forded the river and fallen into the pit of teeth. Shall we strike at the others?
He was just stalling. I felt my heart skip a beat as I looked out towards the increasing, unsettled mass of adventurers in the distance, waiting for his scouts to get into position. Stop them, I sent back to Amaranth, doubting that Graves had any intention of honoring any deal he had struck with us. Take prisoners if possible, but if not,
then their blood will water the earth.
My familiar's voice finished with a mental smile. I am prepared to discuss surrender. I answered the man, clenching my fists. Everyone beside me would take that as a sign to be on their guard. There is no need for anyone to get hurt.
Splendid. I was hoping you were all men of reason as well as ability.
Graves clapped his hands with a smile that didn't quite reach his eyes.
My followers will need to secure the village, as well as get a proper count of how—
Grave stopped speaking mid-sentence, his eyes immediately glancing to the west, then back towards the east. My apologies, I said as I took a step forward, silently praising Amaranth's and Constantine's timing. Perhaps I wasn't clear. I am prepared to discuss your surrender.
So, that's how you want to play it,
Graves hissed after a moment of shock, his eyes blooming with a crimson light. He visibly trembled with fury as he drew his ornate blade from his hilt, pointing it directly at me, all of his guards quickly doing the same.
That was a mistake.
Did his eyes just change color? I focused intently on the man, at a sudden loss for words, alarm bells ringing silently in my head.
I think the mistake was coming here with a horde of slaves in tow,
Trace replied hotly, less affected by the sudden change of color in Graves' eyes.
What the hell is wrong with you to think that is okay? Those are all other players. God, you are all such sensitive pricks!
Graves' voice boomed as he scowled at us. Following his shout, I heard murmurs of concern and rustling from the distant crowd of adventurers.
This is just a game. We can do whatever we want in this world. Real-life moralities don't exist here.
Like shit they don't,
Kaya shouted back.
Idiots. After all this time, you still have no idea what the true purpose of this game is,
Graves hissed at us with anger in his voice.
We are all entertainers, actors to play out a grand drama for the real world to watch.
What? Graves' words stunned me. I had completely forgotten about one of Ascend Online's key features. From the instant that I had spawned in Alduin's study, right up until this very second, everything that we had done in Ascend Online had been recorded.
You're doing this all because you want to sell your feed?
I asked with disbelief. The party and I shared a similar goal, but our intentions were to simply cover the costs of subscribing to Ascend Online and keep playing. Graves, on the other hand, seemed to have much grander plans.
Ah, finally, comprehension,
Graves mocked as he slashed his sword through the air.
I have bigger plans than merely selling my game feed. I plan to make myself a feature attraction for Ascend Online, the first player to become a king. People will want to watch me just for that novelty alone, but more importantly, they will pay to watch me.
That's it?
Halcyon exclaimed in disbelief.
You're doing all of this just for a few bucks?
I am doing this for a few million bucks.
A greedy grin crossed Graves' face as his red eyes bored into ours.
We all are.
What the fuck are you talking about, Graves? I shook my head at the deluded man. It was Graves' turn to look at us in disbelief.
You all really have no idea just how popular this game has become over the last week, have you? As of right now, Ascend Online has over 50 million subscribers, and yet, there aren't enough pods across the entire world to accommodate them all, let alone the hundreds of millions on waiting lists until construction can catch up.
Are you fucking serious?
I heard Caius gasp.
The world is desperate for any news, footage, or information about the game.
Graves' eyes gleamed with undisguised greed.
By the time we're allowed to release our feeds, the world will be in an absolute frenzy, one that I damned well plan on capitalizing on.
You think people will watch you after they see you treating other players as slaves?
Trace gaped at Graves.
How many people do you even think will be able to tell the difference between players and non-players?
Graves asked with a shrug.
Even if they do, how many people do you think will even care about what happens in virtual reality? To them,
This'll be nothing but a brand new show to watch as they trudge through their dreary lives.
As crazy as Graves sounded, I couldn't help but agree with what he was saying. By majority, people wouldn't care what happened within the game world, writing it off as either a scripted story or super realistic animations within a video game. Only the people who actually played the game and suffered through the experience would fully understand.
"I have heard enough!"
Alduin interrupted with a shout, his face bright red with anger.
"You have come into my domain, openly declaring yourself to be a slaver, with the intent on bringing harm to my people and usurping my village. I would be a fool to stand here any longer and not take action."
I saw Graves's crimson eyes narrow as Alduin continued to speak.
"By my right, as the born of Aldford and a knight of Iberia, I hereby proclaim you and all under your banner to be outlaws in any and all domains that hold loyal to the kingdom of Iberia. You are hereby forbidden to seek food, fire, shelter, or passage from any law-abiding citizen or trespass in any Iberian domain under penalty of death."
The Bond's words echoed through the ear.
"Furthermore, any Iberian citizen can turn in proof of your death in exchange for a single golden coin. May the gods have mercy on your soul."
Standing this close to Graves and his guards, I noted a small tag appear above their heads. Outlaw. Current bounty, 1 gold coin. Surprised that such a feature existed, I looked over at Alduin, his eyes meeting mine. He nodded almost imperceptibly, then turned back to look at Graves.
"What an interesting feature. I shall have to remember it for my reign."
Graves spoke, unperturbed by his newfound status, his eyes unfocused as he read a system alert we could not see.
"I'm certain there will be quite a number of powers available to me once I become king."
Graves held up his free hand, conjuring a ball of crimson energy in it.
"He's a caster, too?"
I eyed the ball of energy, instantly coming to a decision.
"Here we go."
"Be sure to watch me when this is all over," Graves smirked as his guards began to move forward. "I promise to make this entertain."
I flicked my hand in Halcyon's direction. Following the prearranged cue, Halcyon detonated a pyroclap directly in front of Graves. The blast sent him and his 2 closest guards, a pair of half-orcs, sprawling backwards onto the ground. The sudden attack caused whatever spell Graves had been conjuring to dissipate harmlessly in a spray of scarlet light.
"Take them all out!"
I shouted to the party as I saw the increasingly agitated horde of armored adventurers starting to press forward after seeing their leader fall.
"I'm going after Graves!"
Despite all their bravado, Graves's guards were slow to react to Halcyon's sudden escalation, giving us precious seconds to close the short distance between us. Focusing on one of the human adventurers ahead of me, my feet dug into the ground as I leaped forward, giving me much-needed momentum as I triggered Blink Step. Suddenly, appearing an arm's length away from the surprised adventurer, I drew Razor from my sheath, my momentum carrying me inside his guard. The blade sang through the air as it carved a furrow of blood across the adventurer's body, stretching from waist to shoulder, splitting the leather armor with ease. Stepping in even closer, I caught the adventurer's axe on my blade, driving my knee viciously into his groin as I collided with the man. Overwhelmed and outmatched, the man's eyes rolled up into the back of his head as he crashed to the ground, stunned, my foot trampling over his face as I sped towards the fallen form of Graves. As I sprinted towards Graves, a surprised-looking elf stepped in front of me, conjuring a spell in his hand. I thrust Razor forward. At the same moment, a tiny ball of fire burst from his hands and splashed across my chest. Unknown elf hits you with flare for 13 points of fire damage.
"That's it?"
I exclaimed, more in surprise rather than mockery, as Razor's point punched through the elf's armor, burying itself straight up to the hilt in his chest.
"No!"
The elf's scream was choked off, a spray of blood fountaining from his mouth as he died on my blade. You critically power attack one unknown elf in a vulnerable location for 594 points of damage. You have killed the outlaw unknown elf.
They're still novices!
The revelation struck me as I pulled Razor free from the now dead elf's chest, noting that even the combat log had hidden his level and name from me. Having lived through countless battles up until now, we had learned to fight with every level of brutality and viciousness that we could muster, something I was surprised to find both of the adventurers I had just trampled over sorely lacking. I guess your skills don't improve that quickly when you practice them on prisoners that can't fight back. Shoving the dead elf to the side, I finally had a clear path to Graves as he struggled to get back onto his feet. Pumping my legs hard, I sprinted at the fallen leader, intent to remove his presence from the battle as quickly as possible. In all of our contingency planning, if things became violent, it fell to me to take advantage of any opportunity to decapitate the enemy leadership. My increased mobility made me the best candidate to burst past defenders and get into melee range before anyone could react. Our hopes were that by identifying and killing any leadership we found on the field, the adventurers would quickly collapse without anyone to drive them. Springing forward, I leaped onto Graves, burying my knee deep into his gut as I barreled him back onto the ground. I used the weight of my attack to drive Razor in a brutal overhand blow, intent on cleaving straight through Graves's unarmored face. Despite gasping for air, Graves had enough presence of mind to interpose his blade in front of his face, catching Razor with a wicked strength I hadn't accounted for, blunting nearly the entirety of my vicious attack. Fortunately, however, Graves's unforeseen strength wasn't enough to stop my blade from driving his own sword deep into his chin, just below his mouth, the doubled-edged blade sinking deep into flesh and bone. Graves let loose an unholy scream of pain as I gripped Razor with both hands, sawing the blade forward and slicing it deep into his face. A line of blood bloomed between his left eye and nose, instantly blinding half of his vision. Desperately, he heaved his unbelievable strength against me, his one visible eye wild with panic, forcing both our blades to pull free of his flesh with a wet sucking sound, the flesh across his lower lip tearing in the process. Overwhelmed by his strength, I rocked backwards as I tried to use my positioning and weight to drive Razor downwards.
Shit! He's fucking stronger than Drace somehow! I can't hold him back!
Watch this!
I snarled at Graves, eager to put an end to the man. I let go of Razor with one hand, it shooting out to grab Graves by the throat. Clenching viciously, I felt my hands begin to crush his windpipe as I discharged a shocking touch deep into his body, forcing it to spasm as the electricity surged through it. No longer pressured by Graves' unearthly strength, I was able to slide my blade down and off of Graves' blade. I moved quickly with the intention to slice Razor straight across his throat. But before I could get my blade into position, I was bodily tackled off of Graves by one of the half-orc guards that had finally recovered from Halcyon's earlier attack. I slammed into the ground shoulder first as the half-orc pinned me to the ground, pushing my free arm down as he straddled me.
Damn it! Razor is trapped under me!
Falling in a convenient pose to see the thundering horde of Graves' followers closing the gap as they charged towards us, I desperately tried to spin my body to face the half-orc pinning me down. I was able to buy a few precious inches of leverage as I angled my body towards him. Craning my head upwards, I could see wild anger on his face, his snarl exposing row after row of jagged teeth. He seemed intent on holding me in place long enough for the charging horde to come to his aid.
Shit! I have to get moving!
Bucking wildly, I quickly twisted back away from him, planting the balls of my feet on the ground as I faced downwards. Moving as fast and hard as I could, before he adjusted his grip, I pushed off with my legs, pulling myself straight out of the half-orc's grip and onto my back. Grabbing Razor as I rolled, I swung it in an arc, chopping it directly into the side of the surprised guard's head. Who says unarmed training is useless? Yanking the blade free, I quickly stabbed it into the half-orc's throat, kicking him off me before I was drenched in blood. I whirled to find Graves, intent on finishing him off if possible before time ran out.
Lear!
Halcyon called my name urgently, interrupting my frantic search.
Leave it! We have to go!
Stray arrows and flashes of magic began to pepper the ground around me as the charging adventurers started to find their range.
Damn, I'm out of time. I'm as good as dead if I catch half a dozen arrows and magic bolts.
Coming!
I shouted, scrambling to my feet. Chancing one quick glance behind me, I spotted Graves being dragged away by his one remaining half-orc guard, pulling him bodily by his armor's collar to safety. Graves's face was a complete ruin, covered completely in blood. He seemed to be trying to shout something as his guard dragged him away to safety, but his ruined throat prevented him from making any sound. An arrow thudded into the ground beside me. Okay, time to go for real. Triggering Blinkstep once again, I instantly sped to Halcyon's side. I'm here!
Finally!
The mage shouted as his force shield shimmered into existence, catching a pair of arrows and a poorly aimed fireball.
Well, this is shaping up to be a giant clusterfuck,
Caius shouted, indicating the charging horde of adventurers in front of us.
At least they're not all against us, Drace said optimistically.
Small comfort right now,
Halcyon exclaimed as the outlaw adventurers thundered down on top of us.
What's our plan?
Drace asked, looking at me.
We'll get swarmed if we stay.
Yeah, back to the bridge, I shouted. We'll hold them off there.
Dropping the shield, Halcyon called. Get ready to run.
The moment that Halcyon's shield came down, we all spun, sprinting directly back to Aldford. For the first few yards of our flight, magic bolts and arrows sailed all around us before we managed to outpace the attacks. Not pausing for anything, we all charged straight into Aldford, quickly running across the pair of stones that bridged the river. Originally intended as a temporary measure when the villagers had first arrived to settle Aldford, the bridge was two roughly cut lengths of slate, each approximately 3 feet wide, a foot thick, and 9 feet long. More than enough for people to easily walk over, or a wagon to very carefully drive across. But as a choke point to fight over, all the while defenders tried to make your life difficult, it was going to be a nightmare. There was no cover anywhere near the bridge on the opposite side of the river, forcing attackers to cross while under fire from the defenders. Even once they made it past the narrow bridge, both ditches filled with triboli further extended the choke point, funneling the attackers between two earthen berms if they wanted to enter Aldford proper. This design allowed us to make the most of our relatively few numbers and reduce the amount of attackers that we had to deal with at the same time.
Incoming!
I shouted out, rather needlessly, as we formed up right between the two earthen berms. Once again, Drace centered the line, with both Aldwyn and I flanking him on either side. Standing in front of us was Halcyon, hands outstretched as he channeled his force shield. I heard shouts behind me calling for Jenkins and Shelia to move to this front.
I can't fucking believe I'm doing this again, I heard Halcyon yell. Mages aren't supposed to be charge breakers.
I told you, we'd make you into a tank.
Drace barked a short laugh as he tightened the straps on his shield.
This isn't funny,
Halcyon shouted back.
They aren't stopping. What the fuck did you do to them, Lyrian?
I heard Sierra's voice call out, followed by a twang of her bow.
You know me, Sierra, just being my charming self.
I turned my head to see a flash of red hair near the top of the berm. Sure glad she made it back in time.
We can break them,
Aldwyn shouted.
Look at them. They are hardly more than a mob right now. They will shatter at the first sign of things turning against them.
True to Aldwyn's words, I saw that the charging adventurers had descended into complete chaos as they chased us, a booming voice egging them onwards. I had no way of knowing just how much Graves had shared about his quest or plan to monetize his feed with his followers. Judging from their rage and complete lack of strategy as they stormed towards Aldford, I felt that they knew something. Either way, time was up.
Here we go!
Halcyon shouted as he leaned his body forward, preparing to receive their charge and pushing his force shield just a little bit further forward. Having never seen the magic that Halcyon was channeling before, the attacking adventurers simply didn't know what to make of the slight distortion that was Halcyon's force shield, nor did they stop to question why we conceded the bridge to them without a fight. Instead, they dug in their heels and sprinted directly at us, intent on crashing right through our ranks and into Aldford. Halfway through their stride, the front ranks of the outlaw adventurers suddenly slammed into the shield with a massive crunch of bone and flesh. The first few rows were flattened against the barrier as the weight of those behind them drove forward. With nowhere else to go, those unfortunate enough to follow in the fourth and fifth ranks of the charge found themselves tripping over their companions and falling directly into the nearby ditches of Triboli. Screams of pain and terror quickly broke out as a handful of adventurers found wicked stakes of wood protruding through body parts, their cries quickly silenced as the weight of other falling adventurers fell atop them, driving them deeper into the ditch and onto even more of the sharpened stakes. A handful of slower, luckier adventurers were fortunate enough to avert their fall, choosing to tumble straight into the river instead. The impact had Halcyon's feet skidding across the ground as he tried to keep himself standing until the charge abated. With a snap of his hands, he canceled the force shield, sending the pinned adventurers crashing to the ground in a heap, the faintly shimmering distortion vanishing instantly with a faint popping sound.
"Go, go, go!"
Halcyon shouted as he ducked between Drace and me, detonating a pyroclap right on top of the adventurer's front line as he passed.
"Forward!"
I ordered, stepping forward into the chaos while activating my true sight, the narrow battlefield suddenly lighting up, banishing the long shadows the setting sun cast across the berm. Smashing into the line of fallen adventurers with little mercy, the first few seconds of the melee was completely in our favor. Nearly a dozen of outlaws had fallen over one another after abruptly colliding with Halcyon's force shield, leaving them tangled in a massive heap of limbs and weaponry, struggling to stand. Wasting no time, Drace launched himself forward, his wicked blade claw sweeping through the tangle of adventurers mercilessly, leaving vicious wounds everywhere it passed. Following closely, Alduin and I anchored Drace's flank, our weapons slashing at anything within our reach. We held nothing back as we began to scythe through the tangled pile of adventurers. I ruthlessly thrust Razor into an adventurer's exposed throat, instantly wiping 7 days of travel away as they respawned in the distant kingdom of Iberia. Nearby, I saw Alduin brutally chop his axe directly into the side of an adventurer's skull, quickly kicking him free and doing the exact same to another adventurer following too closely behind. Arrows flew through the air like deadly wasps, Sierra and Natasha focusing their efforts on any adventurers that dared to cast a spell. A kaleidoscope of colors and echoing thunder fell upon the densely packed adventurers as Caius, Donovan, and Halcyon burned through their mana with reckless abandon. Watching the death pile up around me, my stomach roiled as I tried to figure out what Graves promised to these adventurers for them to go along with his plan. Maybe he promised to share the money he earns from his game feed? I slapped aside an inept sword thrust, rewarding the adventurer with a bleeding cut across the forehead before I kicked him into the Triboli-filled ditch. Perhaps they'll see the error of their ways after they realize they've wasted a week for nothing. Seeing nearly a dozen of their friends fall, the outlaws redoubled their efforts, scrambling to press forward and fill the gaps of the fallen or wounded. Arrows and magic bolts quickly lost their threat as the crowd pressed in around us, the distant outlaws across the river unable to find a clear shot at us in the melee. The fight dissolved into sheer butchery, blood spraying everywhere as Drace, Alduin, and I battled with our attackers. Before long, Constantine, Jenkins, and a handful of the militia had joined our ranks, giving us much-needed support as the outlaws pressed us harder. With little room to maneuver and sheer numbers pressing down on us, we all accumulated countless wounds, Shelia's healing efforts being all that kept us from crossing over Death's Door. Looking across the river, I saw hesitation appearing on the adventurers' faces as they waited to press forward. So far they had lost nearly half of their number, and now were having second thoughts of crossing the river.
"No! What have you done?"
I heard Graves's hoarse voice bellow from the other side of the river.
"You idiot! You sent them all into prepared defenses! Fall back! Fall back!"
Hearing their leader's cry, the ragged mass of outlaws ground to a halt and started to pull away from the edge of the river, those finding themselves stuck on the Aldford side leaping straight into the river as opposed to waiting for the tiny bridge to clear.
"They're retreating!"
I screamed, charging forward.
"Hit them hard, now!"
Yelling at the top of my lungs, I shot forward, the rest of the melee fighters not far behind. We thrust forward, abandoning our desperate defense, chasing after the fleeing enemy ranks. I bullied my way forward, intent on causing as much pain as possible. We had barely made it to the edge of the bridge before Sierra started to shout loudly towards us,
"Heads up! The other adventurers are moving! Hold on! They seem to be fighting one another!"
the other adventurers. My eyes shot open wide as we ground to a halt. I had completely forgotten about the two other groups of adventurers that Constantine and Natasha had identified. Looking through the crowd of fleeing outlaws, I could see bursts of magic flaring into the night. A sizable group of adventurers broke off, fleeing towards the east, while even more adventurers leaped into the water as they dragged themselves through the river and began to run westwards. Shit! The slaves are scattering! What the hell is happening over there?
Graves!
A loud feminine voice roared through the air ahead of me.
Where the fuck are you, Graves?
A portion of the enslaved adventurers split apart from the chaos, all moving directly towards Aldford. My enchanted vision easily pierced through the gloom of the setting sun, giving me clear sight of a tall, blonde-haired woman leading the group towards us.
This is just getting more complicated by the moment.
God damn it!
I heard Graves roar, my eyes quickly turning towards the sound of his voice. I saw him screaming at a nearby subordinate.
This is why I told you to stay back, no matter what!
I lost whatever else Graves was shouting as a bright crimson aura bloomed around the man. Gone was the bright gleam of the armor he wore, now replaced with glowing red chains that coiled around him. What the fuck is that? I gasped as the rest of the aura coalesced, forming into a ragged crimson spirit that hung over Graves. As it took shape, it assumed a vaguely human form, dressed in similar-looking armor to what Graves wore, with an ornate crown on its head. Is that a ghost? Somehow detecting my gaze, it turned to look at me with bright scarlet eyes. My heart skipped a beat as a wave of incredible malevolence suddenly washed over me. Staggering back, I saw Graves flinch and turn to look directly at me, rage burning in his gaze. Gone was the smooth, pale face that I had first seen when Graves approached Aldford. Now it was completely covered in blood, with a piece of his lip hanging freely from his mouth, exposing a row of teeth. The two twin wounds on his face continued to bleed freely, turning him into a horrific parody of his uninjured self, as blood dripped down onto his armor, marring its once pristine appearance. Graves looked at me and spat out a mouthful of blood, saying something I couldn't hear. I saw the spirit raise one of its ethereal hands to point towards me, quickly followed by Graves mimicking the motion. Is that thing controlling him? Before the spirit could finish whatever it had planned, the one remaining half-orc guard grabbed Graves by the shoulder, intent on pulling him away from the battle. At first, Graves resisted, turning to yell at the man. But the guard was insistent and said something to cause Graves to relent, the spirit suddenly fading away as the crimson aura dimmed. They both spun and ran towards the east, all of the outlaw adventurers moving to follow, before the rebelling slaves could come into range. Running towards the trees, the outlaws quickly vanished from sight, the rebelling slaves continuing to chase them to the edges of the distant woods.
It's over.
I looked around the once peaceful field that bordered the southern river of Aldford, finding it now trampled, the ground muddied with blood. I could hear cries of pain coming from wounded adventurers that had fallen into the tribally filled ditches, begging for someone to come and pull them free.
Lear, are we going to go after them?
Trace asked, blood still dripping from his blade claw as he indicated the direction that Graves' group had fled.
No.
I shook my head, looking at the scattered groups of adventurers now loitering around Aldford, all taking furtive glances in our direction.
They likely won't stop running for a while, and I don't trust having these people on our doorstep while we fuck around in the woods.
Not to mention only Amaranth, Caius, and Lyrian can see in the dark,
Constantine added, panting heavily as he slid up to us.
If we're running straight through the woods with light spells, shouting where we are, well, we're begging to get ambushed. There's more than enough of them left over to ruin our day still.
That's probably a good idea,
Trace conceded, shaking the blood off his weapon.
Fuck! What a mess!
I nodded silently in agreement, distantly searching the crowd of adventurers for the woman that had spoken out earlier. Maybe she'll have some answers. I let out a heavy sigh. Shit just got a lot more complicated. Chapter 36. Less than an hour had passed since the battle outside of Aldford. with the last rays of the evening sun vanishing below the horizon. Once it was evident that there would be no more fighting, we had begun the process of pulling out a trio of lucky adventurers that had somehow managed to survive their fall into the Triboli pits. They were quickly stripped of their gear and placed under the militia's close supervision. In addition to the other adventurers taken prisoner, I found out that between both Sierra and Constantine, they had each managed to take a scout prisoner before the battle had begun. Deciding to keep these scouts separate from the other prisoners for the time being, we locked them in separate rooms in the town hall, planning on interrogating them separately from the prisoners rescued from the ditches. After a quick assessment of Aldvard's defenses after the battle, we found that they had held up rather admirably. Granted, Graves' adventurers practically ran headlong into the strongest part of our defenses with little thought for strategy, but they still came closer to succeeding than I was comfortable with. Had Graves' forces been a level or two higher, and if he had joined the fight himself, they may have been able to break through into the heart of Aldvard. He lived in fear that the slaves would rebel if he split his forces, and they did. I had a feeling that Graves had focused too much on getting everything done at once, never realizing that he had hamstrung himself in case something went wrong. I wonder what happened. Someone clearly disobeyed orders while Graves was incapacitated after my attack and decided to press against Aldvard. It's not over yet, though. As far as I knew, Graves was still alive, along with a fairly large group of the other outlaw adventurers, which meant whatever quest he had was likely still active. He'll try to rebuild and come back stronger. I sighed as I thought of the other group of adventurers now encamped outside of Aldvard. They had taken little action after rebelling against the few guards that stayed behind during the battle, content to settle themselves along the river peacefully as they came to terms with their newfound freedom.
"Are you ready to go, Lear?"
Constantine's words snapped me back to the present as he motioned towards the adventurers, Alduin following close behind him.
"Yeah,"
I nodded. So far we'd had no contact with the rebel adventurers, as I called them in my head. The few that we had seen walking about had stayed close to their main group, respectfully keeping their distance from Aldvard. It was time to change that and hopefully get a better idea of who exactly was squatting on our front door.
"Let's go, and hope this works out better than meeting Graves."
"Anything would be an improvement over that," Constantine muttered.
With those words, Alduin, Constantine, and I strode out of the village, walking towards the bulk of the rebel adventurers. We stopped a short distance away, hoping to communicate our peaceful intentions as we waited for someone to come out and greet us. Casting light on myself as we walked, I made sure our presence was brightly evident in the growing darkness, even if I didn't need the light right now, thanks to my true sight illuminating my vision. After a few minutes of waiting, I saw a group of three adventurers start making their way towards us. I recognized one as the blonde woman I'd seen earlier. She must be the leader. She was dressed in tattered rags, clenching a rusty sword in her hand. As the distance closed between us, I could make out wild streaks of blood still coating her face and hair, suggesting she had just recently made use of her blade. Her pale skin was coated in days' worth of dirt and grime, obviously not being afforded the same opportunity Graves and his men had to wash themselves. Coming to a halt, she brushed her hair away from her face, tucking it behind human ears. She stared at us with a mix of appreciation and hesitation from behind deep green eyes. On her left followed a dark-skinned dwarf with an ebony beard covering his face, the faint gleam of my light spell reflecting off his completely bald head, making him appear like a solid brick of obsidian. His completely black eyes made me feel unsettled as he looked at us, if only because I couldn't tell where exactly he was staring. Dressed in similar dirty rags as the woman, I noted that he carried a single rusty mace, hanging from a rope tied around his waist, which also doubled as a belt. Lastly, on the woman's right was a massive saurian, a lizard man, which towered over all of us. Completely bare-chested, with only a rag to hide its shame, I noted thick muscles shifting and twitching under emerald scales as the green beast approached. The saurian was easily tall enough to rival Drace in height and nearly just as broad. Cool blue eyes met mine, its raptor-like head bobbing and greeting as it came to a halt.
"Thank you,"
the woman said plainly, breaking the awkward silence that had formed as we appraised one another.
"I don't know what happened between you and Graves, but we wouldn't be free without your standing up to him. I'm Freya, and these are my friends.
Freya introduced herself, then indicated the dwarf, followed by the lizard man.
Thorn and Helix. I wouldn't have made it this far without them.
Pleasure.
The massive Saurian hissed in greeting first, his sibilant voice surprisingly easy to understand.
Hello.
Thorn spoke softly, giving us a nod. My name is Lyrian, I replied, everyone else taking the cue to introduce themselves. So, Freya, can you explain to me what the hell that was all about? I asked the woman softly, stress still evident on my voice. We have a hell of a lot of adventurers, bandits, loose in the area now, all of whom have a clear reason to hate us. Not to mention I'm sure Graves is going to be holding a hell of a grudge because we fucked up his plans to become king and get rich in the process.
Yeah.
Freya crossed her arms defensively as she shifted her weight to lean in closer to Helix.
It's been a rough few days, and a rather long story on how we got here.
She let out a loud sigh before continuing.
But we have nothing to hide from you.
Rough sounds like an understatement, I paused, looking at Freya silently for a moment before nodding. What happened?
Well,
Freya sighed again as she began to speak.
Where should I start?
Freya paused and took a deep breath.
I spawned in Iberia way back on launch day. First suffering through that stupid call-to-arms ceremony King Swain pulled out of his ass, and like the thousands of other adventurers left in search of riches and glory. I started to send online by myself and didn't meet Thorn or Helix until a few days later.
Freya's eyes had glazed over as she started to recite her story.
I joined up with a handful of adventurers looking to explore the East and see if we could find anything interesting. You know, typical adventurer stuff. Unfortunately, though, there were close to 10,000 adventurers doing the same thing.
Freya shook her head.
Have you ever seen those old photos of the wagon train settling the American West, with people stretching from horizon to horizon? It practically looked like that. A massive horde of adventurers all heading east from the capital. In hindsight, those days weren't too bad.
Freya mused.
Enough creatures for us to kill for food, and the players hadn't turned violent yet. After traveling for a couple days, we made it to Coldscar, a new Iberian city being founded at the top of the ridge, near a series of natural choke points. I think the king plans to make it his new line of defense should the orcs decide to return.
Freya made a face as she spoke.
Or if the Dark Elves decide to press their claims too far.
Hang on. Dark Elves? Constantine interrupted. Their empire, you mean? Freya's eyes flicked over to Constantine before nodding.
Yes, there have already been a few incidents near Coldscar by the time we had arrived.
What do you mean? I asked with a frown. What sort of incidents?
The kind that prelude war.
Thorn replied with a bitter voice.
Settlers have gone missing. A handful of villages burnt to the ground and a few dozen skirmishes against other Dark Elf players.
Damn. This sounds like what Graves was referring to when he said other events were keeping the adventurers' attention focused elsewhere. They're testing Iberia's response, I stated, to which Thorn simply nodded. Would Iberia pick a new war so soon after ending the one with the orcs?
If it meant keeping Iberia unified, most definitely.
Alduin's voice was bitter as he spoke.
We've been at peace for a year, and the kingdom has practically torn itself apart. Iberia does not know how to be at peace.
We all paused at that uncomfortable thought.
I guess a war would be great entertainment for players and those watching us play.
All right, I said, steering the conversation back on track. You arrived at Coldscar?
I did. Or should I say my group and I did,
Freya said, picking up her story from where she had left off.
Coldscar was a very different city than Iberia, if only for the reason that they're trying to build a settlement straight from scratch, right into a major city. There were a ton of opportunities there, if you were lucky enough to get there first,
Freya said with a bitter tone to her voice.
The city needed everything, from resources to crafters, guards, and everything in between. Problem was, by the time we got there, all the major resource areas had been claimed by emerging guilds, and the amount of players around meant any non-guild labor was dirt cheap. So our choices boiled down to joining up with a guild and sitting on top of a mine or quarry, competing with the hundreds of adventurers milling about the city for odd jobs, or pushing onwards towards the northwest, north, or eastern frontiers.
Freya paused for a moment to lick her lips.
The overwhelming majority of players that decided to leave Cold Scar chose to go east. That's how I lost my group. They were more interested in fighting dark elves and avenging the lost settlers and raided villages than anything else,
the blonde woman stated with a shrug.
I, on the other hand, just wanted to level, work towards the base class, and maybe find a decent set of gear. I doubted that I'd find any of that heading eastwards. So I found a new group, Graves's group, as they were getting ready to head out to the northwest,
Freya said with a sigh.
At first, it seemed like he knew what he was doing. He had apparently just come through with a huge score, finding an abandoned tomb of some sort, and had earned enough money to outfit all of his friends in leather armor, not to mention looting the gear you all saw him in. He was considered a lucky leader. There were over 100 people looking to get out of Cold Scar, in addition to the 30 or so already following Graves. That was when I first met Thorn.
Freya paused to look at the ebony slab of muscle at her side.
Though we didn't become friends until later. Once we were a day away from Cold Scar, Graves put whatever plan he had in motion. We noticed anyone who was over level 6 had an interview with one of his followers. What they were promised, I have no idea.
Freya shook her head at a memory that we couldn't see.
Then on the morning of our second day away from Cold Scar, he told us all about the quest that he had and what our role would be in it. More than half the group was in on it, even the ones that weren't originally part of Graves' group. They just turned on us almost instantly.
Freya winced as she spoke.
They beat us and terrified us. We barely had enough time to understand what was happening before it was too late.
Graves told us it was a temporary thing.
Thorn spat on the ground in disgust.
Just something that we would have to suffer through until he completed his quest, and then we would be free to go. First time those damned red eyes of his appeared, too.
Freya looked a bit ashamed as she spoke.
There were so many of them, all stronger than the rest of us. What else could we do but stay in line and just wait until it was over? We couldn't even provoke them to kill us, and after a few beatings, everyone just stopped trying.
Then they found us.
Helix spoke, waving his clawed hand towards a handful of distant lizardmen adventurers.
Our race, the Araxi, doesn't spawn in Iberia or in any city, really. But within the fens of Swin. Unfortunately for us, Swin was not popular for new players, as well as being too poor in resources to be worth staying.
Helix explained with a hint of frustration.
So a handful of us left the fens in search of civilization and other players. We had been traveling for many days before we crossed paths with the others.
The guards nearly killed them, stopping once Graves realized that they were players.
Freya took over for the giant Saurian, who nodded as she started to speak.
Graves and his men just dragged them into the main body of players and kept walking.
You guys didn't fight back? Constantine asked Helix.
We did.
Helix hissed angrily as he motioned to his lack of equipment.
Araxi start off poor. No weapons or armor. Only our natural claws and scales. We did the best we could, but there were too many.
I sought out Helix as soon as he joined the group,
Freya said, looking over to the giant lizard man.
I wanted to let him know what he had gotten himself into. Thorn found him first.
Freya and I had the same idea,
the dwarf spoke, nodding his head at Freya.
We wanted to make sure that Helix and the other Araxi hoarded whatever food they still had, so that if an opportunity provided itself to be rid of Graves, we could take advantage of it in the future.
Food? I asked with a confused look. What do you mean?
Graves didn't bother to feed us, and without food our regeneration stopped.
Freya winced as she traced a line down her arm, eyes briefly lost in memory.
We wanted to be sure that Helix and his friends hoarded their food and didn't just waste it until we could put it to use.
Unfortunately, with the lack of food, Thorne explained, it was starting to become impossible to keep up the 12 to 14 hour marches Graves insisted on. We just couldn't regenerate stamina fast enough to keep up with his pace.
Graves wasn't happy about that. He thought we were purposefully slowing him down, so he ordered his men to beat any stragglers that fell behind the rear guard. When that caused us to slow down even more, he was livid.
Freya's expression took on a dark look.
By that point, I was so exhausted I didn't care if I lived or died. Truthfully, I was hoping to die. A respawn in Iberia would have been a gift. I marched right up to Graves and told him we needed more time to rest or that he needed to start giving us food. I thought he was going to kill me with how angry he looked. Those goddamn red eyes of his nearly burning a hole in my head while he stared at me.
Freya exhaled deeply, shaking the memory off.
He just looked off into the distance for a while, then told me that he was going to take care of it, and that I shouldn't concern myself with problems beyond my station. Then he had his guards run me off. That night, his scouts,
I saw muscles clenching in Freya's jaw as she spoke,
dragged a large pack of level 7 wolves right into the heart of the camp. The majority of us at the time were still level 5.
Shit, Constantine swore. Freya nodded.
I woke up to one of them gnawing on my arm. Thankfully, Helix was nearby to help, but others weren't so lucky. Hardly anyone had the energy to fight back. Dozens were maimed. A handful were even killed by the time we rallied a large enough group to kill all the wolves. Graves really wasn't happy about that.
Hang on, I interrupted. Why didn't you just log off and log back in once the group passed you? Or even re-roll your character? The three of them looked at me like I was an idiot.
I take it that you haven't logged off, if you're asking that question.
Freya answered, shaking her head.
First of all, logging off just removes your consciousness from your avatar. You don't just vanish like in other games. Your character is forever a part of this world, even when you stop playing.
Shit, really? Constantine exclaimed, taking the words right out of my mouth. What happens to our avatars when we're gone, then?
The game takes over.
Thorne pointed up towards the sky.
Apparently it learns our personality as we play, and creates a temporary NPC while we're gone.
I was at a complete loss for words. All the NPCs in this world are so alive, they could be people in their own right. A little terrifying? Constantine supplied, sounding a little spooked.
Yeah.
My voice trailed off.
Persistent characters controlled by the system is not a new idea for online games, just not a popular one. This game just happens to be better than any before it.
Thorne shrugged as if it was an inevitable progression for games.
Either way, it's fairly limited, and won't involve you in any major decisions, and will do the best it can to keep you safe. You can even queue certain kinds of tasks behind that it will focus its time on while you're away, such as crafting or building. Not that we could do anything of the sort. It's not like you really miss anything either.
Thorne continued to explain.
The game just updates your memories with everything that had happened since your last time logged in.
What? I said with shock. The game can do that?
Why not? I'm sure you've all had skill ups before.
Thorne explained with a shrug.
It feels no different, to be honest.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, I said, more to myself, reminding myself of our forced logout time Wednesday morning.
Yeah, well, it is what it is,
Freya replied with a rather fatalistic shrug.
Anyway, re-rolling your new character wasn't much of an option either, Freya continued after a moment. First of all, you need to shell out the subscription cost again, which I'm sure you remember wasn't exactly cheap.
I nodded at that statement. With us playing as a group on a long-term play subscription, we received decent discounts as opposed to playing and playing individually. But the total monthly cost was pretty close to $1,000 a month, each.
Then, if you still want to re-roll, you have to go to the end of the waiting list until your name comes up.
Freya's voice was tinged with frustration when she spoke.
Do you have any idea how long the waiting list is?
I shook my head slowly. Graves had mentioned something about that earlier.
As of this morning, when I checked it, it is approximately 198 million people long.
Freya stared at us numbly.
At current production rates, it would take us nearly 2 years to get a chance to re-roll. CTI is scrambling to increase production rates, but pods are complicated pieces of technology, not to mention even finding a place to house them.
Fuck. My head spun as I tried to do the mental math of just how many people wanted to play Ascend Online, quickly followed by the sheer amount of money that CTI would find themselves swimming in. They'll be richer than most countries. That doesn't even include anything they get from media events. There was another long, somewhat uncomfortable pause before Constantine spoke up this time.
So, logging out got you nowhere, and re-rolling is rather pointless considering how long it would take to get back into the game.
After finding out a few people were killed, Graves banned the practice of dragging monsters into our group, realizing that we were on the verge of just letting them kill us, just to get away from him.
Freya explained morbidly.
Many were on the verge of losing hope. We had even started to talk about a plan to just start killing one another, to deprive whatever Graves needed from us to finish his quest.
Thankfully, things worked out for the better,
Thorne said smoothly, revealing coal-black teeth as he smiled at us.
It did.
Freya nodded, a small smile breaking out on her face as she looked at the dwarf. We saw quite a bit of fighting happening within your group earlier, I probed, nodding towards the rest of the adventurers. What was that about? Freya's smile vanished at my question.
There were some scores that needed to be settled. People did things that couldn't easily be forgotten or forgiven.
What do you mean? Constantine asked hesitantly.
When the food ran out, some players started to prey on weaker players, extorting whatever scraps of food or supplies we'd managed to hoard. They were brutal, intent on causing pain and suffering just because they could. In some ways, they were worse than Graves.
Freya looked at me with a hard expression.
While you were having your tete-a-tete with Graves, we were busy solving a few other problems of our own. Permanently.
Judging the blood I had seen on Freya when we first met, I knew exactly how she had solved those problems.
Solved all of them but one,
Helix hissed, clenching his claws menacingly.
He may be among the dead or escaped, but if he lives...
Dealing with other hostile adventurers in addition to Graves would have been a living nightmare. I couldn't help but feel a tinge of respect to the three standing before me, given how brutal their journey had been.
For the last few days, we've been saving and pooling whatever scraps of food we could find and keep, waiting until we found an opportunity.
Freya looked at me, then out towards the large group of adventurers behind her.
It gave us the edge we needed to survive today.
So we saw, I said, following her gaze. Might as well ask the big question now. With a sigh, I looked back at Freya and the others. What are your plans now? Both Thorne and Helix looked towards Freya, who had clearly been expecting the question, but didn't have an answer for me.
We don't know yet. Everyone is still a bit in shock after everything that happened today. And after the week we had, only a handful have been staying logged in consistently. Many have been popping in and out every few hours to see what's changed.
Freya put up both her hands in a placating gesture.
But we don't mean any harm to you or your village.
I know we don't have much to offer, but I think the majority of us would actually be interested in joining your village. Well, if they ever log back in again. That is, if you'll have us,
Freya added hopefully.
I know our arrival wasn't the best first impression.
It definitely wasn't what we were expecting, I replied carefully. But we won't hold anything you did to survive Graves's reign of terror against you. I chanced a quick glance at Alduin and Constantine before continuing. Unfortunately, the decision to let you join the village